You are listening to the Campus Life Podcast, where Gary shares his lessons and adventures on campus as a college chaplain and the lead pastor of a collegiate church plant in West Hartford, Connecticut. Gary releases a new episode on the first and last Thursday of each month, but keep an eye out on your email because Gary is known to release bonus content every now and then. Lastly, Gary answers two questions on each episode. You can submit your questions by emailing us at info@faithfellowshipct.com and typing campus life question in the subject line. Now buckle up for this episode of Campus Life.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Pastor Gary, and you're listening to another episode of Campus Life. I am a college chaplain, and I get to help students at the University of Hartford find meaningful community. Also, I get to help them live on mission and prepare to infect and invade the marketplace for Christ for years to come to make an impact there that we'll see for decades. So I'm so excited today. This is the first time in our podcast that we have a guest on. So I'm super excited about that. And today, my brother, Pastor Carl, as we like to call him, is here today, and he's gonna do way more than I can, man. So, Pastor Carl, man, welcome to the show, bro.
What's going on, Pastor Gary? Hey, guys, I'm Carl Felton III. I am one of the leaders at Epiphany Church Baltimore, specialize in the areas of community and building community and outreach, stuff like that.
Awesome, Carl. Thanks, man. So I met Carl, I don't know how many years now, Carl, has been? Maybe like
three or four years ago now?
Yeah,
four.
Yeah, we met the mutual friend, William Clark, Dr. William Clark up here in Connecticut, who's really originally from Philly. And so we met, got connected through him doing some local work and ministry work in Hartford. And they were just doing amazing work at the Vine Street location for Living Faith Church and also, I think, with Young Life. Right?
Yep. Young Life.
So God kind of brought our paths together, and I'm happy to have Carl here today because Carl has done campus ministry for a while now. He's always been working with young adults. He's always been working with teens and then, you know, everybody in between.
Exactly.
That age. And so he's a young guy himself as well. I won't give away his age, but he's been doing that. He just recently married. So we're excited. How long have you been married now?
Ooh, my 1 year anniversary is in 2 weeks.
Man, so he's been married. He's still wet behind the ears.
Yes.
Almost a year married. So he knows what it's like now. Welcome to the camp. And so I'm excited to have him here. He's going to talk to us today. But before we do all that, man, let's hear a little bit about your introduction into collegiate ministry, how you got started, where you were at.
Yeah. Went to college at Towson University. My freshman year was in 2010. Grew up in a Christian home, accepted the Lord as my savior at the age of six. And mainly throughout my earlier life, I had a deep, deep desire to know God and be in relationship with him. Around high school, I began to hang out with a different group of friends, and you know, my faith started backsliding. A lot of my choices didn't really reflect my faith, and had a couple experiences that brought me back to God, one of which my best friend committed suicide. It was that experience that the Lord really showed me, like, you are in relationship to me. I've called you to be an example of what it means to be in relationship with me. And so I went on to college and just ready to be a Christian. I didn't really have any plans on joining the church or being a part of a faith community. But I'll never forget the second week of school, this guy named Chuka.
Chuka.
Hey, this guy named Chuka came up to me and one of my good friends, Elise, and he said, hey, I'm having a game night tonight. You guys, I would love if you come. I work with an organization called Impact Movement. That night, I did not go to the game night.
Oh,
all my friends did, and I heard about the great things and the great experience they had. So the next Tuesday, I was the first one there for the social. And that's how I got introduced to this ministry called Impact Movement.
Wow. That's amazing, man. That, you know, honestly, that's the story we definitely needed to hear tonight, because you're the guy. You're the guy that we're trying to reach. Like, that's amazing. Church background, but I'm not thinking about it right now. I don't go to the first thing, but I come to the next thing, and then I get involved. Like, that's it, man. So that was your intro. And what school was it again? One more time.
Towson University in Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay, man. Be more nice. So, so what happened after that? Like, did you start to get involved more heavily? Like, what was going on?
Yeah. So, every week we would kind of have a social aspect to Bible study and a biblical aspect to Bible study. We used to do what's called the Impact Movement Journey, and it's okay. Basically the foundation of what it means to be a Christian. Okay. So there was a social engagement piece, but also a biblical piece to every week. And so after about a couple weeks, the leader, Chuka, who was the president of Impact Movement, he kind of pulled people aside who seemed to have a firm foundation with the Lord and their faith. Okay. And he was just saying, hey, God, the Lord has called us to go and make disciples. And I believe that you guys who are maturing your faith can be me in a couple of years. So I want to spend this year, because it was his senior year. He said, I want to spend this year developing people who can run this ministry when I leave.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. I thank the Lord for Chuka and my relationship with him my freshman year of college, because I had never met a disciple like Chuka ever in my life, even to this day.
Okay.
Never met a disciple like him. But just the heart he had was very powerful. And just for outreach and evangelism and discipleship, he was the guy and still is in Silver Spring. Awesome. Yeah.
Man, so I'm looking at them now, man, just looking at their chapters. They're all over, they're everywhere, man.
Oh yeah. Impact Movement is everywhere. Yeah, man. For sure. It's just a ministry that really desires to help African-American minorities specifically,
okay,
everybody, of course, to really know God and be in a community with people that look like you, but also to build you up and prepare you to go and make more disciples.
That's dope, man. I mean, and it's okay to have, a particular ethnic, persuasion to it.
For sure.
Or emphasis. I agree with that because, you know, we reach a certain demographic. Of course, we're trying to be multi-ethnic and while we're still, you know, have that, we use our culture to our advantage. I mean, if you're not, you know, you're not trying everything yet, you know?
Exactly. I mean, the target, if a ministry doesn't have a target audience, then you kind of lack identity. But if you know who you are and who you're going after, now you know how to tailor your events, how to tailor your messages, what to focus on, where to go, where to be. All those things matter, but you can't have success in those areas, at least knowingly and measurably, unless you have a target audience.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I love about partnering with other student groups on campus and other parachurch ministries here. Even though I run a department on the campus, I love that I get to partner with everybody else because they're reaching a certain demographic, and whether they're going to say it or not, it's evident by who's showing up in the room. And so we try to leverage that for the glory of God, man. And so one of the things that I wanted to talk to you today, as we kind of talk before this, is we want to talk about how important reaching freshmen are. You know, and kind of like what that needs to look like. Mm-hmm. And I love your story because you were caught up in that freshman, 6-week freshman outreach that happens in the fall semester. A mm-hmm. lot of people are unaware that as, you know, collegiate missionaries, a bulk of our evangelistic, outreach style stuff is so heavily emphasized in that 6 weeks that people come to campus. Would you just explain to our listeners why that's so important? Like, why those first weeks are so huge?
Yeah, I would say the first 6 weeks are so important, especially for going after freshmen, because this is my first time in my life being away from my parents.
Right.
This is the first time in my life I get to decide what I get to do 24 hours a day. So now I'm on a college campus, and there's so many different options, so many different opportunities, so many different social activities going on outside of class. Truth. And I need to find a place where I belong. So as a ministry, the first 6 weeks is very important because you can find Christians, parents of Christians who are bringing their children to school. You can find just anybody. You can find non-believers and really build a genuine relationship with them and really help them to know what it's like to experience the love of being in relationship with a Christian and
right.
what it's like to be a part of a Christian group or circle. This is a major opportunity because you're starting from square one.
Right.
And there are no expectations.
Right. And it's that recruitment atmosphere already when you come to a campus, everybody's recruiting.
Exactly.
You know, during those times. So it's not like you're the only one out there fishing for people or looking for contacts. And so, yeah, it's just a perfect time to join in on that recruitment atmosphere that's happening anyway.
Exactly.
You know, most campuses are having some type of block party, some type of club fair or club and org fair. And why not get on that?
You know? Exactly. Exactly.
And exactly. So tell us a little bit about, you know, if you had to frame out kind of what a 6-week outreach would look like, kind of tell us what that is. Kind of give us a roadmap and then kind of fill it in for us.
Yeah. So a 6-week outreach plan really is the focus of how are we going to get freshmen and sophomores, but mainly freshmen.
Okay.
You want to begin by really saying what type of university events are going on. So this is about 3 weeks before school starts. You want to ask yourself what university events are taking place. Is there an orientation 2 to 3 weeks before kids come to campus and move in? Because usually some schools like to go through what life of a freshman is like about 3 or 4 weeks before freshman sure. move in, right? So you want to get that opening events calendar. When's moving day? When's the freshman cookout? What activities are going on for freshmen the first week that they move in? Because typically, I know when I went to Towson University, freshmen moved into campus about 5 days before classes started. So you had 5 days to get acclimated with the university. Every day there was a different activity.
Right, we call it a liftoff here at okay. University of Hartford. Yeah, so I know what you're talking about.
Yep, so that's the time when you want your ministry to be volunteering with the campus. Everything doesn't have to be in the name of your ministry. You want to ask, yeah, that's ministry. Ministry is working alongside what's already in place.
Yes.
Why overwork yourself and your people with planning and financial resources and room resources? Things get very difficult on a college campus. So knowing what's going on will help you just to have a presence. And when you work alongside what's already taken place in those first couple of weeks, now you're an asset to the university from a culture sense. Oh, they're invested in what we're doing. Oh, so when you're having issues booking your room in November for your send-off service before kids get ready for finals, they're going to say, oh, I'm going to look out for Pastor Gary and his group because they're right. always serving alongside this university. So, of course, I can make sure they have whatever they need to be successful.
Man, that's so critical. I think sometimes when we first get on campus, we're just trying to plan the heck out of the year. And it's like, man, there's some stuff you don't have to plan. Just show up, you know, like that. And that's part of what, you know, in my first, I think the inaugural episode of Campus Life was like, yo, half of the work is being visible, like get yes. in these spaces,
presence.
Be seen, serve. And sometimes not even for the promotion of your group, just to seek the goodwill of the campus.
Exactly.
You know, like just be there, you know, make relationships. You don't even have to plan it. Like, man, that was just so I was like, I almost shouted hallelujah. Like when you said, I was like, yo, like people, if they could see me right now, they'd be like, yo, this, like, I wanted to slap you. I was just like, this is amazing. Say it again for the people in the back. You don't have to overplan. So take it further, man.
You don't. So I would say that first week of your 6-week outreach plan is actually 2 weeks before the school year starts. And so, again, you want to be there for freshman moving. You want to be there for all those liftoff of events, whatever they are. But when you go to those events, you have to use discernment as to, is this something I can bring contact cards to or surveys? Or just say, hey, is this something we just need to be present at? Like a cookout, that's an event where you just want to be there. Talk to people, focus on learning people's names, focus on just introducing yourself and having just saying, hey, I'm Pastor Gary. This is what I do. But hey, what's up with you? Where are you from?
Right.
What are you here to study? What's your schedule looking like? And just let it happen. Just show up and let it happen. That's the first.
Let me ask you this. Would this be would it be a good time for like scheduling gospel appointments? So maybe you couldn't do, a 30-second survey or a connect card, but wouldn't it be a good time still to just say, hey, let's meet for coffee?
Exactly. This is the perfect time to do that. Because again, your schedule is not full during those first weeks, that first week after moving, because they want freshmen to get acclimated with the university. So I know when I went to Towson, you had one event in every building or around the outside of every building for that first week. So now you can get familiar with Lithicum Hall, Liberal Arts, Center for Performing Arts. Now you say, hey, you guys are at Lithicum tomorrow? Awesome. What's your time looking like around 3 o'clock after you guys get finished at 1:30? I would love to sit down with you and just talk to you about what I do and how I can support you and your journey here at the university, right? So that's the perfect time to do a survey just to see where a person's coming from and what they'd be looking for, if they're a believer or a non-believer, what type of events they're interested in. Because part of being in ministry is not always about doing Christian-like events, right? You don't exist to do Christian events. You exist to evangelize. So sometimes that means doing things differently. Because if we continue to do what's always been done, we'll keep getting the same results. But if we do things, then we'll get different results and probably the results that we're looking for.
Right. And I think that's so dope because, like, you know, I always look at some of the other ministries on campus and I'm like, they're able to offer different events because of their religious affiliation. Right.
Right.
So those are some of the groups I look at and they have more of a religious litany of their year. So they're like, you know, come out to Shabbat for this or come out to, you know, or come out to, you know, whatever it is, but they kind of like tailor it toward what's going on the campus. But for Christians, we only have a few major events, you know, like calendar Christian events, and we're really not a super religious as Protestants. So, you know, you got to start thinking outside of the box, like, hey man, you know, one year we did a March Madness game night. Like we just, let's use March Madness. We got VR games. We had so many other like hacky sack. We had like the cornhole, and we just had a game night, and then you know we made connections and followed up with those. You know, so it was amazing.
That's awesome. I would also say this is a great time for you as the pastor and your upperclassmen that first week and leading up to this first week. Just find one day a week when you can pray. Just pray over the semester. Pray over the students to come and. That's a great time. And whenever they're having meals or lunchtime, that's a great time to do a table, a pop-up table with your ministry stuff right outside of the cafe, something like that, so that they can get familiar with seeing your face. Sometimes during that freshman period, they may be weary of coming to talk to weird people, but if they keep seeing you over and over, they're going to wonder, oh, who are those guys?
Who is that?
I keep seeing them. And I'm going to go talk to them, especially if you guys are engaging people.
Visibility creates curiosity.
He helped me and my parents move in last week.
Right. I've seen this guy. And you guys have got to go back to that first episode about visible because Carl's just nailing in right now that you need to be seen. Like, you can't do campus style ministry anywhere and you're not there. Like, that's just, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, you have to be there. And so, so talk to me about like some of the style events that y'all would do, like in those first 6 weeks, was there a strategy to the type of event?
Yes.
So talk to me, kind of bring me through those weeks. Campus is here, classes are started, or at least like you're in that, you know, let's say ground zero week, things are starting.
So the first 2 weeks of school, so the classes have started. So you're in weeks 2 and 3 now of that window of the 6 week outreach plan.
Okay.
During weeks 2 and 3, you want to have minimum 2 events because, again, it's early.
Right.
I got to keep seeing you if I'm going to build a relationship with you moving forward, especially if all you have is upperclassmen in your ministry. You know, you got to gain that credibility. So what we would do the first day of class, we had an ice cream social. Right outside of the University Union, because that's the place that everybody goes. We would have an ice cream social that afternoon and serve ice cream for 3 hours. So it would probably be from about one year we did it from 12 to 2 or 3. And then the next year we did it from 3 to 6.
Okay.
And we saw great results from both of those. So I don't think time, again, you know your campus. However, right. This is just an idea. But that's an event.
No, we did the ice cream social. We love that. That works.
Again, that's an event. You can't go nowhere. You got to eat your ice cream right then and there, especially if it's hot. So that's a great time to, again, have a cone while somebody else has a cone.
Right.
Or I will do the survey and ask you questions while you eat your ice cream.
Okay, yeah. Right? Yep. And so we would like to promo those events at our club fair table.
Yeah.
And while we're going to the other stuff that's happening on campus. So even if we don't do a survey or we don't do, you know, make a gospel appointment, we're still inviting to the next
thing. Exactly. Always invite to the next thing. Then what we would do like that Thursday of the first week of school is we would go bowling, right? Because the ice cream social is a great opportunity to help them take the next step, right? It's always about what's the next step after what we're starting with. So ice cream social, bowling event. Bowling event, now I've got you off campus. We're cool, right? We're cool. You're trusting me. I'm trusting you. We've got a 15-passenger loaned to us by the university, and we're taking about 15 kids, the five leaders and 10 freshmen. It's a great opportunity to just say, hey, this is who we are. We just want to come take you guys and have some fun.
Okay. Yeah, nice, man. I like that. So let's say you get through that first week. What are you doing the next week after that?
The next week after that, I would have my first interest meeting.
Okay.
On that Tuesday. Tuesday, the first interest meeting or whatever people call it.
Is that the same as the mixer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Same thing.
Now, yep. I learned a funny story about that, right? So I learned after doing my first one not to call it the freshman mixer.
Oh, no, don't do that. Don't label anything freshman.
So literally, freshmen showed up. And, you know, of course, I had scheduled some upperclassmen to come to, you know, talk and share their stuff about the ministry. But really, I only have freshmen. So I learned very early on not to ever invite or even put the word freshman anywhere near the campus ministry mixer.
Nah, don't do it. Don't do it.
Go for it, man.
You'll either get one or the other ends. No one will show up because it's not cool to go to freshman only events. Right. I'm trying to be cool. I'm trying to fit in. I'm trying to be where the upperclassmen are because that's cool. Right.
That's so where cool is. Yeah.
If everything seems general, then number one, it's not off-putting. I feel like everybody's invited, so I feel invited, you know.
Right. I like that. Yeah. I learned my lesson. I was like, never again.
Hey, but that's all this is learning. Learning what's best for you, learning what's best for the culture of your campus.
Yeah, it was a learning experience. I know that now. Yeah, man. Talk to us more. So you got that event, especially you having an interest meeting.
Yeah.
At that one.
So that's the time when you want to just have people have fun for about 30 to 45 minutes.
Okay. Food, right?
Food. I was about to say that. Have food if possible, if the budget fits. I think food is a must. Because this is the first time you get these people in a room at this point, right? So you got them in a room and make sure you have your leaders there and just focus on having fun with them and building relationships for about 30 to 45 minutes. At the end of that 30 to 45 minutes, what you want to do is give a 15-minute, presentation or whatever, introduction of this is who the leaders are.
Right.
This is who we are as an organization. And this is why we exist. And then that's when you want to give a 5-minute spiel on the end of this is what's going to be happening with this organization through this semester. Yeah, right. Yeah. Then you want to let them know this is how I want to be a resource or this is the vision. What's the vision of this ministry is to pour into you guys and develop you guys so that you can be like the guys that are standing up here next to me. You know,
right. One day you're going to be taking this over. You're going to be in leadership here, creating already that sense of leadership pipeline development.
Exactly.
You need to be moving forward. Yeah. I like that.
Exactly. And that would be the mixer. And then I would say the next thing to do, have appointments and launch groups, launch your large group and launch your small groups.
Yeah.
That's the next thing.
All right. Yeah. And probably even a small group sign up maybe that night, something like that. Start plugging them in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because after you get those small group signups, after you get that initial interest, people's names, contact number, and stuff like that, Now you want to begin to create opportunities for people to continue to be in community outside of small group and outside of large group. But what the small group will do is it gives these, not just the freshmen, but everybody, an opportunity to connect with their circle and be in community. So now when that party's happening or whatever, and not that parties are bad or anything, but when things are happening that could impact a person's walk or their faith, now I don't feel like I'm the only one missing out.
Right. You have to, because you can't compete sometimes with the attractions.
Nope.
But you can definitely out relationship those things. You know, like if you have strong relationship, you know, that currency with them, it goes way further sometimes than, you know, what you can create that's attractional.
So, exactly.
Yeah. I try to explain a lot of that, you know, contacts in those first six weeks are so big.
Yes.
Talk to me about a follow-up, because I feel like people fail, right? They get millions of contacts if they're smart, which is good. But then what do we do with these contacts? Because people are just like, you know, contacts and what I do now, right? Big job of that is follow-up. Talk to us about that a little bit.
Yeah. So it was interesting you said that. So what you would do before the freshmen even get to campus, you would come up with a goal of how many people do we want to join our ministry this year,
right?
So I remember for us, it was always 200. Okay. We want to impact 200 people. We want 20 salvations this semester.
So we did 400 this semester.
That's awesome.
We have 36 students that we're working and mobilizing. So we're shooting a little higher this year.
That's awesome.
Let's try God.
Awesome. So then after that, we know that we want 200 people to join the ministry minimally that year. And we want 20 salvations.
Okay.
So at that point,
how many people are at your school? Tell us that, because that's important to know. How many people went to in that the score in BMOR? How many people?
How many people went to Towson? I forgot. I would say it's roughly around 1,600.
Okay, cool. Okay, so that's okay. So yeah, so us about 6,000 at the University of Hartford.
I'm lying. I think it's way more than that.
It probably is.
I think it's 16,000.
Probably 16,000 sounds more like a number that you.
I'm saying the numbers in my head, but anyways, I'm sorry.
So I think it's good because I just want our listeners to be able to say, hey, you know, what's a good percentage of people we should think we should be trying to reach when they set that goal? So for me, that's about 400 is about 8% of our campus. Yeah, mm-hmm. We want to share the gospel with at least 8% of our campus this semester.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So then what would happen is every event, every tabling event, the ice cream social, going bowling, all those events, that the mixer or interest meeting, we're getting contact cards. But always, always, always the rule is you want to contact that person within 24 hours.
Right.
Right. So we started out having the leadership team do it. My first year in leadership, which was my sophomore year. But I realized that year that was a bad idea.
Because, talk about that.
Because if you have everybody owning a different area, if I have you owning outreach, you're owning this area, you're owning events, you're owning engagement, every leader is already stretched so thin. So what we did the next year was we challenged each leader of every area to find 2 to 3 people to be on their team. So now every leader has someone under them supporting them. And so now your workload isn't falling off because of this ministry, right?
Right.
Now I have support and a team that I run of 2 to 3 people who are sophomores, juniors, or seniors. And I'm not doing the work by myself. However, I always challenged the follow-up team to say, hey, please communicate if we get so many contacts that you guys can't manage getting it done in about 90 minutes. But it'll always be for 90 minutes the next day after the event. And I said, if this is something you can't get done in 90 minutes, let us know, because then another team that has a lighter load can support you guys. And always me as a leader, I would always jump in and support regardless.
Cool, man. I like that, because so So I know one of the things that we're trying to do now is we're trying to make sure that at every event we're getting our top, our leaders to find people and set up times to meet.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, man, hey, I'm looking at my calendar. I'm free tomorrow during happy hour. You want to grab something in Einstein's? You know, like, we're trying to get them to immediately start making gospel appointments, get that training going immediately. So when they're at these events, even at, you know, the earlier ones, you know, they're starting to make those connections and, you know, especially at the tabling, especially at, you know, the socials and stuff, start that training. But then even our follow-up team, who's getting all the contacts together, yeah, they need to know. It's a lot of people,
yeah,
to follow up with. So I think that's a really good system, having people have, you know, leaders, and then having, you know, a few people under them who are helping them, you know, respond back to that workload. I think that's great.
Exactly.
So we use people for planning centers to create a
planning center.
Yeah, we use that so that we can put people in a workflow.
Yeah.
And so people get that card sent to them. They need to contact them in the next 24 hours. So, you know, we try to pair them with good people.
Yes.
Who we think will be, you know, an effective person to talk to. That's awesome, man. I'm glad to hear this, man. This is so helpful, man. I hope our listeners are just sopping this up.
I hope so too.
You know, because if you're in this line of work, this is what makes or breaks a semester.
And it makes or breaks the future of a ministry too. Because statistics show that not many freshmen are coming to your school in the spring semester.
Right.
However, I do encourage people to have a transfer student outreach plan in January when returning to school. However, it's not nearly as many students as you would get in the fall.
Yeah, I've been to transfer events. They're very, very small.
They're very small. Exactly. Yeah.
So in one of my other episodes, I think probably the episode before this, about two episodes ago, we talked about, you know, summer orientation outreach and why that's so important. I feel like so many people minimize that. We'll have you back to talk about that, because I don't want to give them, I don't want to overload them today. They're like,
for sure.
This is like cheesecake right now. So let me ask you a few more questions.
Yeah.
Before we kind of wrap up for today. So like, what seemed to work best in terms of like getting to get people to respond? Like, cause you got these contacts, and sometimes, you know, people just don't want to respond.
Yeah.
Like, what does your follow-up message look like? I mean, you know, in a sense.
Yeah. Honestly, unless somebody had a really good interaction with them, they're most likely not going to respond to a follow-up. That was the biggest data I got when I was leading an impact movement on Towson's campus. Some people would just fill out based on social pressure. Some people don't want to let you down when you hand them a card. Some people just don't know how to say, I'm not interested. But they do know how to ignore that message when you ain't standing right there. Come on.
Yeah.
The number one way to get a great response is just a great, genuine interaction. Secondly, the best response is just from somebody who's looking.
Right.
Somebody who's looking for a place to belong.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what I've learned. So I really pushed my leaders and returning members to say, hey, speak to as many people as you can. But if you're having a good conversation with somebody, don't stop until it's done.
I like that. I like that. If you're having a meaningful interaction, prioritize that over trying to talk to a bunch of people.
Exactly. I agree.
I agree. That's good, brother. So let me say this. Have you read any books or any other literature or something that you could point another, you know, potential college minister to?
It's funny you said that. And this was not planned. I got this book, Multiply, right here beside me.
But God. Francis Chan.
Francis Chan.
Come on, talk about it.
I think this is a great resource because it talks about how to develop leaders. If you are a leader, and even if you're not a leader, I think this is a great tool if you just want to learn how to disciple, how to evangelize, if you want to know how to go about it. This is a great resource for getting someone to do it for the first time. So I think that Multiply is one of the better modern resources that we have today, just because it gives a framework of what Jesus calls us to as his children and disciples, right? He calls us to be like Jesus, number one, right. To love God, right? And he calls us to take on the responsibility that he gave us to make disciples. However, the way that Francis Chan lays it out is it's all about being relational and doing life with someone else. The biggest thing that I even was talking to some other leaders in my church about was, although you have a regular scheduled meeting, it's not just about getting together every Tuesday, but it's about saying, hey, how are you doing on Thursday? How are you doing Friday? Hey, let's hang out. Let's do this. Because the content is only a guide, right?
Right, but the
relationship that is built and the trust that is built from person to person, that is invaluable and when you're trying to make disciples and build a ministry.
Man, that's so good. I appreciate you, man, sharing that resource because I have that book and I'll be honest with you, I don't think I've read all the way through. I've been, probably for me, it was The Way of the Master.
Yeah.
That one has caught more of my attention, but I want to definitely, because of you, man, because the way you're putting it, I want to give Multiply another look. I think I got it when I was really young. I wasn't in collegiate ministry when I got Multiply. I just picked it up because it was Francis Chan. But in anything he's writing, I'm trying to read. So, so I'm just excited about this semester that's coming up for us. We're about, I think, 33 days away for me of our first service, but about 20, let me do some math real quick, about 26 days from our club fair.
Nice.
So we're in that, you know, that kind of zero stage of planning and getting ready to look at liftoff events and stuff on campus. And so we've got some of those stuff planned already. One of our local bowling alleys just started a college night. And so, you know, my ears were like, you know, it was like,
bring it.
That might be something we do on the regular just to get people off campus. And so just hearing you say that again, which is great. Let's get ready to close up. Let me ask you this, man, what would be your kind of closing words and encouragement to college missionary who's getting ready to return for another semester, man? What would you say to them to encourage them?
A couple things. Number one, don't stop praying. Don't stop praying.
That's good.
Don't stop praying. Again, make sure you have a prayer team for you as a leader. Next thing would be make sure your leaders are healthy. Make sure the people who are going to be leading under you are healthy.
So good.
Try to meet with them individually just to make sure, see where their head is at, see where their hearts are at, right? Because oftentimes people think, oh, I have this expectation on me, so I got to do it. But sometimes people aren't ready. Sometimes people slipped and fell short last summer, and they just need to be pastored for a season and supported, right? But the next thing, man, just enjoy it. Enjoy it. Enjoy what you do. Enjoy the process and trust God to do a powerful work through you, through your team, and trust that God is involved in all of it. That's why he has you there. That's why he has a vision. That's why you're utilizing these resources, because you care and you have a heart to do this work.
Man, thank you, man. That's so encouraging, bro. So whoever you are out there listening, be encouraged. Keep praying. Make sure your team is healthy, man, and enjoy what you're doing, man. This has been Pastor Carl on here with us for Campus Life, man. Carl, tell us how we can follow you, man. What's your handles and stuff?
Yeah, I'm CF3 Unscripted on Instagram and Twitter. My Facebook is Carl Felton III, as that's my full name.
Okay, man. Connect with Carl, man. Follow this guy. He's an amazing church leader, man. And I think we've only seen half of what God's going to do through him. Not even yet. So we're just really thank you. Thanks again, Carl, for joining with us today, man.
Nah, thank you, Pastor Gary. I mean, our relationship has been very great ever since we met that random day in Connecticut, man. I always appreciated just being in relationship with you. And even you as a pastor, you've meant a lot to me and my journey. And
appreciate that, man.
the call that the Lord has on my life, there's not that many years between us. So just having someone close to my age that's doing what we do is a huge encouragement to keep going and stick with it. So I'm thankful for you as well.
Thank you, brother. Man, I appreciate you, bro. So, guys, thank you so much for listening to Campus Life. There'll be an outro. You can connect more with us. If you want to come up here and join us on mission or you want to help us, we're in the middle of fundraising toward the end of that goal. Check out GaryKnighton.com. You'll hear some more in the outro, as I said. But join us on mission. Join up in this joy. And remember this, if you want to touch the world, you're going to have to reach the...
Thank you for listening to this episode of Campus Life. To get the show notes from this episode, be sure to email us at info@faithfellowshipct.com and type show notes in the subject. You can use the show notes to discuss this content with your staff and student leaders. Lastly, if you'd like to financially support Gary on his mission to disciple, develop, and deploy college students so they can influence the culture for Christ for decades to come, visit GaryKnighton.com/H4UH. As always, if you enjoy this content, please share with your friends and on social media. Thanks again for listening to Campus Life. Thank you.